3, 2, 1.
Welcome to It's Fabula!
True personal story.
It's Fabula!
It's Fabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
It's Fabula Radio Time on 89.7 WUWM. Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Winter with Leah Delaney, the It's Fabula co-founder here in Milwaukee, and every week we have live stories for you taken from past events on a certain theme, and the theme this week is, as he throws it to Leah.
And we'll catch it and bobble it for a second while I explain why the theme is the theme, if you don't mind.
All right.
This week's theme is race and place. So as you know, Bruce, over the past couple of years, we have had a fellowship with It's Fabula, dealing with race and privilege. And so the applications for the Season 9's fellowship are now available at itsfabula.org/fellows. So with this year being the 50th anniversary of the Fair Housing Marches in Milwaukee, we're focusing on the theme of race and place. So for example, those who might be interested in filling out an application and becoming a fellow might have stories of actual experiences during those housing marches back in 1967, 68, or they're trying to get access to housing today. Or maybe they have stories about what it is to drive in Milwaukee as a Black person or a person of color. So along with those actual storytelling events that we're going to have with our fellows, we're also going to be having events centered around talking to kids about race again, and also race related to public health. There's going to be a lot to cover this year with our It's Fabula fellows, so we're really encouraging everyone to apply to tell their story about race and place.
And everything is at itsfabula.org.
You know it.
All right. First story for today.
Yeah, let's just jump right in. So again, we are talking about race and place. So our first story comes from our event, Only in Milwaukee Story Slam. Let's listen to Sue Blostein's story.
I moved to Milwaukee in 1979. I'd grown up in New York. I lived in Madison for 5 years, and I made it here. Tonight, I just went to an event before I came here. It was an open house from an organization that I have a really long history with, the Metropolitan Milwaukee Fair Housing Council. In 2017, we are going to celebrate, I believe, the 50th anniversary of the Federal Fair Housing Act. And my time in Milwaukee, a few years into my time in Milwaukee, I got to intersect with this interesting slice because Milwaukee has a very rich history in the area of fair housing. I had a really nice upper flat at 41st Street, just north of Hampton Avenue. It was an upper flat above the owners of the house. They were an elderly couple. I was a lot younger then. And it was a great place, great price, close to my work. I worked at W.H. Brady then. And the only thing was the landlord was really nosy. I don't know if that was just a Milwaukee phenomenon, but he was really nosy, very paternal, which I guess was nice. I would come and go. I worked second shift a lot of the time, but somehow he always managed to be at the back door when I was coming or going. Oh, Susan, what are you doing? Oh, you worked overtime on Saturday. Yeah, I thought we saw you leave early, and I'm like, oh, my God. I was feeling a little smothered, but anyhow, nice apartment, good location. I kind of put up with it. Actually, I didn't live there right away, but anyhow, 1983, I started dating a Black man, and he would come visit me. And they met. I introduced them to him, you know, because they're always at the back door when I'm going up. You know, and I have decent manners. Hi, you know, this is Maurice. He's a friend of mine. Oh, okay. Anyhow, on Mother's Day, this is great, on Mother's Day, he had spent the night before, and when he left in the morning, And then not long after that, my landlord said, "Susan, can we talk to you?" And I go downstairs. His wife had always been kind of on the quiet side. She says to me, "Are you running a cat house up there?" I was like, "Whoa." And he said to me, "You know, we can't have this, Susan. We have lots of nice things in this house." And I was like, "Okay." Now, I wasn't very strategic about working the law, so I jumped the gun and said, "Fine, I'm out of here." And I found another apartment, but I also had a lot of activist friends. I was an activist, and I knew about the Fair Housing Council. And I went to them and I told them what happened. And they said, "Yeah, you have some recourse, even though it's an owner-occupied building. And there's a lot of details involved. I had to write up a narrative of what happened." They said, "Well, you sure to go back and discuss it with him, because it's better if he actually evicts you." You kind of jumped the gun by, like, "I'm out of here." But anyhow, to make a long story short, they did help me recover, 1983, they helped me recover some money from my moving expenses, and I became a volunteer investigator for them as a result of this. And that's a really wonderful way to learn that discrimination and racism doesn't always have that ugly, hateful face where they're just going to say, "No, we don't rent to you people." But the things that I was told when I went to seek a unit, and the things that people of color were told when they presented similar income and other characteristics, the things that they were told about availability, it's like, okay, this has been laid bare, what goes on. And maybe not only in Milwaukee, but definitely a feature of life here. And at 40 years, they still shouldn't be having to pursue these things, but they're alive and kicking.
So that was Sue Blaustein's story that she told at her Story Slam, where the theme was only in Milwaukee.
And I think the theme we can take away from that story is that racism always isn't overt, loud, and in your face.
Indeed.
It can be very subtle at times.
So we're talking about Race in Place, which is revolving around our Ex Fabula Fellowship applications that are now available. And we'd also like to mention that we are kicking off our membership series again. So this is a really, really good time to apply for an Ex Fabula membership as well. So you can help us create programs such as the Ex Fabula Fellowship and other really great and groovy ways to support Ex Fabula. So, and you can get all of that information about the benefits at exfabula.org.
Great and groovy. I like that.
I'm all about alliteration, so.
After this next story, I want you to explain this nonprofit death match that's coming up next week.
Yeah, we'll do.
But first, though, let's do the next story.
Okay, great. So again, we're jumping back into stories about race and place. This next story is coming from an event we had with our fellowship series. It was called Creating a Welcoming Community in Bayview.
So when Gina called in early January, and she said, "Antoine, we got a divorce, me and my husband, and you have to move out of your home," I knew that my love affair with Bayview was over. Inside, I actually felt that it was about a year overdue. I met Bayview at a young age. I grew up on the north side, and like LG, driving on the south side, it always seemed gloomy and cloudy. But for a Bayview girl I liked, that I married, I moved to Bayview. So I was 22, Bayview was about 120. And I lived roughly six blocks away. I was really excited to move here. We could see the Summerfest fireworks from our home. There were all these cool new places getting started. Central was here. My wife had been here. She's a lifelong Bayviewer, so she knew all about the Bayview Bash, and Chill on the Hill on Tuesdays and all that cool jazz. And so I fell in love with Bayview, so much so that I decided to put a ring on her. And I literally lived on one street in three different houses for 7 years. I went from 2539 to 2539A to 2550. I love this place. I even took ownership and called myself the self-proclaimed King of Bayview. I would go to events with a Bayview, with a King of Bayview shirt on, and ask for my royal fees or any sort of gifts that they could give the king. And no one seemed to actually do it, but that was all right. That was all right. Going to places like South Shore, I really started to fall in love with Bayview. I even got to meet the other black guy in Bayview. We would meet him passing by at the gas station. And then I got a new job where I was working for a nonprofit, helping neighbors in need, helping neighbors who didn't have the same sort of life that I was living, or who was starting to not find me relatable. And that started to tear inside of this young man trying to make a change, whose heart was in the North Side, but whose home was in Bayview. And from that, I started to look at Bayview a little different. I lived next door to a church right around the corner on Howell. And I remember getting pulled over. He must have not knew I was the King of Bayview. And so he checks my tags and he checks my ID and everything checks out. And he says, "Hey, do you know such and such?" "I don't," is what I replied. And he continues with his day. Inside, as a black man, you kind of have this sense. I did know that guy. He was the other black guy. The police thought that because I was a black guy in Bayview, I would automatically know who the other one was. And then the honeymoon phase was over. And I started to look at Bayview, and I started to go to the Stone and realize I was the only black guy there. Started going to Cafe Lulu and the Hi-Fi and realized there weren't a lot of people who looked like me. The only time I would get to see somebody who looked like me was at the Highbury for hip-hop nights on Fridays. But in that growth, I've learned that that is okay. That is all right. Bayview is a place right now that may not be for me, but it's for other people, and to each its own. A funny story was there was a young lady who became a good friend of ours because she saw us walking down the street and we were a black couple. And she immediately stopped us and said, "Oh my God, I need to get to know you guys. I haven't seen a black person all summer." Sad but true. In all these stories, I still miss Bayview and I still come all the time. I come to Revel for hookah, still come to Highland for the Highbury, I apologize, for hip hop night. But what I actually find a little solace in is the ride back home. Thank you.
And that was Antoine Carter's story told at one of our fellowship events called Creating a Welcoming Community in Bayview.
And speaking of events, I kind of teased this going into that story, but I saw this and I went, what in the world is a nonprofit death match between Hunger Task Force and It's Fabulous? What?
I think you just said it. So on August 10th, Milwaukee Nonprofit Death Match is a trivia fundraiser that's going to be held at Brenner Brewing Company. So we're going to be squaring off against the Hunger Task Force, a worthy opponent and wonderful organization as well. And we're going to see whose team is the biggest know-it-all. So you can get details to that if you want to help us become the biggest smarties in Milwaukee, xfabula.org.
And if you want to pass along the stories on XFabula Radio, they are at WUWM.com. And we are here every weekend, right?
This is so true.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Great.